Amen. And would you join me this morning in Matthew 25? We're headed to Matthew 25 this morning. As you see on the screen, open-handed generosity, and generosity is worship. That's what we've been talking about this month. And today is our last Sunday looking at generosity. We're going to look at our gifts and our talents. And as we go there, we're going to be looking at the parable, the story of the 10 talents. This morning, like I said, it'll be last Sunday looking at generosity. Next Sunday, you'll want to be here as well. We're going to have a missionary. We're going to have Todd Scaswater, who works with Wycliffe Ministries. He'll be here to preach for us next Sunday, so we get to hear him teach and preach. And let me just say, he's just way smarter than I am, so you'll be blessed by that. He's a great guy. After that, in this whole summer afterwards, we're going to be looking at the Psalms. And so we're going to spend a summer in the Psalms. And so we'll have a reading plan for you next week if you want to read along with us all the way through the Psalms throughout the summer. So that's kind of a sneak peek of what's ahead. But this morning, let's look at Matthew 25 together. We've been looking at really the cycle of generosity. That in 2 Corinthians 9, it says that you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And so we established several weeks ago that what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, in the words here, he has enriched us in every way, and it flows from God to us. And when that happens, we are generous in every way. That's the reaction. And so this word generous is open-handed, liberally, freely giving what God has already given to us. And then it says here, it produces a thanksgiving back to God. So we receive it, we give it, and it really results in God getting the honor and praise that he's deserved. So we looked at being generous with our time. Last week we looked about being generous with our money. And this week we're going to be looking at being generous with our gifts and talents. And so we'll separate those in a second. But this morning, what better place to look than the story of the 10 talents? Now, we'll be diving into what that actually means. But this morning, Matthew 25, we're going to see Jesus teaching about talents. And so this morning, a question for all of us to answer. All of us to answer this question. What kind of steward will we be of God's varied grace that he's given us? How will we manage what God has given us in our talents? How will we manage what God has given us in spiritual gifts for his glory? That's what we're after this morning. So look with me in Matthew 25. And we'll start there. We'll kind of unpack this and look at what the Bible teaches a little bit about spiritual gifts. All right, so Matthew 25, verse 14 says this. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he had 2 talents. The one he gave 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This morning as we begin, my first kind of point is this, that we, from Jesus' story here and what we're going to see in 1 Peter later, is that we are stewards of God's grace. and specifically God's resources that he gives us in gifts and talents. All right, now you may be thinking, what does this parable have to do with my gifts and my talents? And so I just want to look real quick. This, really, verse 14 to 15, there is a manager, right, a owner who gives over his property to servants, right? Look at verse 14 and 15. It says, a man will go on a journey, and he calls his servants and entrusted to them his property. Right here, those are stewards. It doesn't say the word stewards, but that's exactly what they are. They are servants that are given the managing rights to the property of the owner. Okay, so they're given resources, and they're supposed to use them well. And what are they given? In verse 15, this sounds weird in our English language. Are you ready? We are given, here in this story, talents based off of ability. But really, what Jesus is talking about is money and capability. Okay, so a talent, we don't talk about talents. We have coins, right? We have dollar bills, we have checks, we got credit cards. What Jesus is talking about here is somewhere in the range to, like, a talent would be 75 pounds of silver or maybe up to 200 pounds of gold. Okay, so we're not talking about, oh, here's a just a small coin that this story is implying. Instead, this is a lot of money. Okay, if you were to do currency then versus currency now, if it was silver, it might have been in the 10,000s of dollars per one talent. Okay, if it was gold, you can only do the math, we're in the millions. Okay, so what the owner here is giving, he's really giving over a lot of money. You can think of like suitcases worth of money to deal with while the owner is away. Okay, but what is interesting in verse 15 is they're given it based on their ability. All right, so they're given based on their ability. So some get five, some get two, another gets none, or gets one. And so I just want to say this morning, it does talk about money in the parable, but I think if we were to zoom out and go, what is this parable about? It's about using the resources that God gives us and using them well. And that would include his gifts of spiritual grace given to us and the spiritual gifts. All right, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Because as we talked here with the kids earlier, we could probably go around the room and you probably wanted to be an astronaut or something, and here you are at 200 Long Branch not doing those things, okay? But there is something that does take place when we believe in Jesus, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and given gifts that we can use to glorify God in the church and to bring honor to him. Okay, so what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning is that. And to show you this connection, between God's grace and spiritual gifts, I want you to see over and over again in the Bible where this comes together. So listen to the connection of God's grace and the gifts that are given to believers in the church. In Romans 12:6, Paul writes this. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. All right, so we have gifts and grace. Again, and Paul writes in Ephesians 4:7, talking about the gifts in the church. He says this in 4:7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. All right, grace and gifts, they show up. In Peter, he writes it this way in 4:10. We'll look at this in a second. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. If we were to look at the Greek word for grace and spiritual gift, you would notice that grace shows up in spiritual gift. In English, does it? No, right? Those are two different words. But in Greek, we have the word grace, and then we have the word grace gift. All right, so that's how the connection is made. So what we're talking about is receiving something that we didn't deserve and stewarding it well for God. If you see here in this parable, what are the servants supposed to do? They're supposed to receive the gift, right? That in verse 15, he gave five talents. He gave two talents. He gave one talent. It was undeserved. It was a gift. And then how would they use it? All right, so we're supposed to steward God's grace given to us. And so how are we supposed to do that? All right, we'll come back to our story here in a little bit. But if we're supposed to steward God's grace well, I think Peter nails it on the head. In 1 Peter 10, again, it says this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. We receive spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit for one reason here. Peter says to serve one another in the church. That you've been given a gift to serve one another. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, this, a little different, but same meaning. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4, he says this, now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Do you hear that? Each of us who believe in Jesus as our Savior is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, to serve one another in the body. Alright, so I'll be honest, I did in my fourth grade yearbook, it says that Britt McNeil aspires to be an NBA basketball player. Alright, and truthfully, it wasn't until seventh grade when I go to the basketball tryout and there's like 50 to 75 other seventh grade boys that I realized, man, this dream ain't happening. You know? Like into eighth grade, I still think I played like a city league, like holding on to hope. And then by high school, it was just completely crushed. Like, I think I had to give up, you know? Like, I was like, okay, you can play French horn. You know what I'm talking about? Right? That's your role, Brent. Fit into that, right? And then here I am as a pastor, right? Many years later. So, but this is the reality, okay? Like, in the church, however, you are given a gift to use it. And when you believe in Jesus, that gift may, in the moment, not seem evident, but it's there. You've been given the Spirit for the common good, to serve one another. And so I'll tell you this morning that being in the church is the key place that you will see your spiritual gift of the Spirit shown. All right? So if you're at home waiting, like, oh man, I hope I learned my spiritual gift today, it's going to be hard if you're not with one another to serve one another. Nod your head if you get that. Right? That's the key place, is to be in the church. But I will say that you, over time, will grow in maturity with those spiritual gifts. But I will say sometimes it's just being aware of how the Spirit's moving in your life and in the life of the church. As an example, I'm studying at the University of Alabama, and I'm earning a music education degree, and we go to the youth group one night. I'm in college, Crystal and I go, and we watch someone lead worship, and the guitar literally falls off the strap. She knocks over, like, the microphone, and it was pretty epic. And I think in that moment, I leaned over to Crystal and said, I think I need to do that. And that's not to say, oh, man, but it was like, I have a music degree. I can play guitar. I can say, I think I need to fill in there. And that's what I'm trying to encourage you, that God has wired you in such a way that the Spirit working in your life, that there will be moments when in the life of the church you go, I feel like I need to be stepping in to serve there. And that's a key way that God uses us in the Spirit to build up the church. As I think about our church, I think about, I haven't told them I'm doing this, but I think of Jackie and Keith that are currently serving in our Grief Share ministry. Going to them a couple months ago, hey, I think you'd be great at this, right? But I can tell you, it wasn't just because I asked. I know they've prayed about it. And you can ask Jackie, she even says, I have a gift of mercy and compassion, and this fits right where God needs me to be. Is that right? Amen. Okay, good. If not, change that part of the sermon later. But I also think about others in our church that work even behind the scenes with administration. You know, like right now, every week, Cindy, she's not in the room, is she? She's not. Anyway, she shows up every Tuesday to do things behind the scenes that probably would never be known. Bill, in his service, he is our deacon of furniture. He's not here. He's actually serving right now, right? But Bill, behind the scenes, is using his spiritual gifts in ways even the chairs you're sitting on were moved because he helped. All right, so we are using our spiritual gifts to serve one another in the life of the church. And I'll be honest, over time, those spiritual gifts become a little bit more evident. Because if I told you that I got nervous when I was in middle school praying on a stage at First Baptist Church Richardson, you'd be like, there's no way. Right? But in seventh grade, I remember like getting on stage and like shaking, you know? Like, but today, I can get on stage and I can preach the gospel, and it just doesn't seem like that was the same me that many years ago, but the spiritual gift that was given was alive then. It just wasn't as mature as it is now. And so if you're thinking, wow, can God use me in that in the future? He can, and it's possible that spiritual gift is in you at the moment, which is awesome to think. that over time the Spirit can be used to bring life in the church. St. Clair Ferguson said this. He said, "Gifts are for service and not self-advancement." How many of you, as we saw the kids down there with the money bags, you know, you felt a little jealous. Like, come on, the boys deserve more money, or the girls, right? But when we, as adults, when we think about spiritual gifts, we aren't in control of them. Paul says to desire certain spiritual gifts. But sometimes, if we're honest, we sit back and go, man, I want that one, or I want this gift. But Paul writes it very clearly that it's for the common good. We are to serve one another. It's not for self-advancement. Another thing that spiritual gifts have been given to the church is so that through the Spirit working in all of our lives, we might build up the church. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, Paul is talking about different roles and different people he's given to the church. But listen to this. He says in chapter 4, verse 11, "He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ." We are given gifts to build up the body of Christ, to equip each other for the work of ministry. So the church, it needs leaders, it needs teachers, pastors, shepherds, prophets, it needs these things. But notice that the roles here, they don't do all the work in the church. Instead, they are to equip for the work of the ministry. So who builds the church? It's not the Sunday school teachers, it's not the pastors, not Craig, the worship leader. It's every single one of us. The Spirit working through every single one of us to work together for the church to grow. So what will be said of us at Long Branch in years to come? Think about that. Like, if we're obedient to follow this, what will be said of Long Branch in the years to come? Will we rightly equip the saints, equip each other to do the work of the ministry? And will we see that ministry is done in and through every single one of us? You know, I think we're given the instructions here, right? Where we're given all the instructions. But we have to follow those instructions in order for the end result to be how God intended it. So if God has put in place, this is how the church should function, that there should be these roles, these people that are gifted in these ways to equip everyone to do the work of the ministry, then the result is to build up the church. There would be a growing church. So have any of you ever put a piece of IKEA furniture together and then at the end look back and said, oh no, what did the instructions say? Nobody? That's just me? Because it's in some weird language, and there's a little guy with a screwdriver that's like, oh yeah, it's so simple, right? And you have the screwdriver, they even give you that. They give you all the pieces you need, and even some extra ones. And then you get to step 57 and realize that somewhere back in the way you flipped a board around. Nobody? That happens to me all the time, you know? So, like, it's like an investment of time and energy. You have the description, you have everything, the instructions. But sometimes we get off. I think as we look at what Paul writes here, that to build up the church, a healthy, growing church, really must see that the Holy Spirit is working through us to equip each other to do the work that all of us share together. All right, so next time you buy IKEA furniture, think about that. All right? Ultimately, when we are receiving the gift of the Spirit through spiritual gifts, we use them ultimately to glorify God. That is the role of these gifts, right? It's not to receive glory ourselves, but to point the glory back to Him. 1 Peter 4:11, right? We talked about in 4:10, it said this, that as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. In verse 11, Peter writes this, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I don't know about you, every time I see an athlete that runs off the field, maybe they just scored a big touchdown, right? They point to heaven, or they're doing the after the game interview, and they're like, oh, it's all God, man. God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I kind of giggle because I'm like, I mean, yes, God probably did give you the DNA and the talents to dunk a basketball or, you know, go into the end zone, catch the football. But when we see here, that's not what Peter's talking about. Peter's talking about that Spirit has given specific gifts, in order that God would receive glory over and above anything and anyone. That's what he says here, right? That glory would be to God because of Jesus Christ. To him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. And so it's not wrong for the athlete to go, you know, praise God. I'm not saying that's wrong. But I am saying that that's not the result, right, of that talent, right? That DNA that was given to them to crush a baseball over a green fence. But here's what I want us to see, even what Peter writes, that there are two categories that Peter says. There are some that are speakers, right, mouthpieces for God. And so maybe it's a Sunday school teacher, maybe it's a worship leader, a pastor, or someone that can speak the oracles of God. And there are also those that serve, right? So they are serving. Maybe they're behind the scenes. Maybe they're serving in front of others. But these are the categories, and both are needed to bring glory to God. Again, we're a team here as a church. The Holy Spirit's working in us to glorify God in all that we do. And if we just think about these speakers and these servants, really we have some extremes to be warned of, right? We should avoid speakers who speak of themselves and not of God, seeking to steal his glory. We should also avoid being speakers who really try to please people and maybe back off the truth of what God says in his word. Servants also need to check their hearts, right? Because sometimes we operate out of our own strength and not God's. As it says here, that they are operating, one who serves, by the strength that God supplies. Also, servants need to be warned a little bit that we allow, at times, those that are speakers in the life of the church to do all the work, when God has gifted you as a servant to help to do the work as well. If we think about servants and speakers, they are the combination that always points to Jesus. That's what Peter's pointing out, right? There are people that speak the oracles of God. There's people that serve, and they work together to bring glory to God, just like peanut butter and jelly. All right, peanut butter with grape jelly, if you're asking me, but you can have your own opinion. All right, chips and salsa, every day, every single day. Pecan pie, right, Paula? That's just that she brought me one today. Anyway. But they work together to glorify God. The best of all combinations in the church is when those that are speaking and serving God in that way, and those that are serving are serving, they're doing it together and building up the church. Go back to the parable with me this morning as we think about these talents, right? The five talents, the two talents, and the one talent. We have these two people, the one with the five talents and the two talents, taking God's resources and using them as good stewards to make more money for God, right? So using his resources to multiply what God has given them. And so if we could break down what God has given you a really, let's just be honest, a set of DNA, a set of talents and gifts that are unique to you, right? That you've been raised in a certain household, right? So I'll just be honest, right? At 5'10", I can't dunk a basketball, okay? Can't do that. I can play French horn. All right, you probably can't play French horn, but you might have another life skill, a talent that God has given you, and you can be grateful for them. We see even in the Old Testament that there are two men that the Spirit fills for a specific, really, for honest, very hands-on kind of job. In the Old Testament, this ordained birth and circumstance, we see two men in Exodus 31. We see Bezalel and Oholiab. Mama loved them, gave them good names. Bezalel and Oholiab. So in Exodus 31, it said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah. And I have filled with him, with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, and cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahimasuch, that was tough, of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to him all the ability, men of ability, able to all, able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you.'" All right, all that to say, Oholiab, Bezalel, they have been given the gifts to use their hands to create something artistic, and namely here, to put together the temple, right? The tabernacle that's going to travel. Okay, so they have been given something specific to use with their hands. All right, to build up, right, to be used by God. So skills and talents can be used within the life of the church. They can be used in the life of the church, okay? And sometimes we just have to be honest, we might not be that person to use your skill or talent in the life of the church. See, this winter, we were having a plumber fix something in the village, right? And I walk up and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And he goes, you wouldn't know. Thank you. He goes, I've just learned pastors are pastors and plumbers are plumbers. I was like, oh, thanks. You're right. But what are you doing? Right? So you too may experience that in the life of the church. There may be a time where I call you, where someone calls you and say, hey, don't you know how to do this? And you go, oh yeah, I know how to do that. And you can be used in the life of the church to bring glory to God. But there are also, along with your skills and your talents, specifically, there are spiritual gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit that can be used, as we've already said, to serve one another and to build up the body and to glorify God. I'm not going to go through every single one of them this morning because there are a couple of passages, but I think I have a few slides to see if we can read it, maybe. Let's see. There you go. Kind of small. This is what I'm going to do for you this week. I'm going to send you a spiritual gifts inventory, right? A little test for you. You can fill it out. And you can see how has God gifted me with a spirit in order to be used. And so here are a few. I will read them, but again, I'll send you something this week. All right, so in Romans 12, we have exhortation, which is more teaching and encouragement. We have the spiritual gift of giving, spiritual gift of leadership and mercy, prophecy, service, and teaching. In 1 Corinthians 12, we see that Paul talks about the gift of administration, the gift of apostleship, the gift of discernment and wisdom, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the gift of helps, the gift of knowledge, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpreting tongues, the gift of wisdom. In Ephesians 4, Paul also writes there's these gifts here of apostleship, of evangelism, of pastoring and shepherding, of prophecy, of teaching. There's also other passages that talk about the spiritual gift of celibacy and hospitality and martyrdom and missionary service and voluntary poverty. I think as I read all those and you think about, wow, that's a lot, you might be thinking, what is my gift? And here are the two encouragements. One, if you are active and serving in the life of the church, these gifts are going to be seen by others as you are serving. And there may be times where you're serving and you realize, man, this ministry or this moment is not the right fit for me. That might be God just saying, hey, you might not be gifted in spiritual gifted in that area. But there might be other moments where you're serving and somebody goes, hey, have you ever noticed that you're really hospitable? Like every time somebody comes, that you welcome them and you greet them really well. And you might go, oh, I never knew that. And the Holy Spirit is really working in them and in you as you serve one another. It's a great thing to see. So I would encourage you to be a part of the life of the church, serving in various ways to see how that spiritual gift would come. And like I said, I'll be emailing you a spiritual gifts inventory. You can take that, but I'll tell you this, it's a snapshot. All right, it's a snapshot. One moment, you can put a timestamp on it, right? That's when it happened, but the Spirit is not something that you can put a timestamp on. Okay? And so know this, that you can take a test and you can make numbers, make what it be, but the Spirit's at work in your life. So if you desire to know what your gift is, let's trust Him, and then let's encourage one another to speak truth into our lives and go, hey, I think I've seen this gift in your life. So don't be sitting this morning going, I don't know what my gift is, because here is the warning from Matthew 25. The warning from Matthew 25 is that one servant was given one talent, and he went and buried it because he was afraid. And Jesus' words in this parable are a warning to us who are stewarding God's grace and His resources and His gifts given to us. In Matthew 25, it says this in verse 29, for to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus looks at the one servant who buried the money, right? We're talking 75 to 200 pounds worth of stuff. He buried it. And Jesus calls them a wicked and lazy servant. And so much so that we're not just talking about investing money. We see with all of these servants, the two that do right, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the master. Jesus is talking about He's talking about heaven. And I'll be honest, you and I think we could say we want to hear that when we get to heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. The warning here is that this one servant who put the buried the money, Jesus points out he's wicked, he's lazy, and he will not enter the joy of the master. He will be sent into outer darkness. He will be punished, right? And so if we're just taking a moment, sin, it is our willful disobedience against God and his ways. And this servant shows that he decided to do what was best for him and his self and not obey the master. And so our sin says this life is all about protecting us against the reality. We need protection against God's wrath against sin. And that's exactly what Jesus did in living a perfect life, dying and rising again. And it is only through Jesus that if we believe in him, we get to hear these words, "Good, well done, good, faithful servant." So the cycle of generosity, right? That spiritual gifts must begin with us submitting our life to Jesus in faith. We are given them so that we might be generous and open-handed back to God through the church that will result in glorifying God. 2 Corinthians 9:11, we will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. This morning, are you open-handed with the talents that you've been given, with the spiritual gifts that are given to you by Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Have you received the gift of faith first and foremost? This morning might be that moment for you to believe in Jesus for the first time. Maybe this morning is a time for you to be obedient, to be baptized, or join our church family. Whatever that next step is in these next few moments, be obedient to listen to the Spirit as he leads you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross.